I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
All right, Notre Dame, they had me, then they lost me. Welcome to the show, Maggie Gray, Andrew Perloff. I'm not, full disclosure, I'm not really a Notre Dame supporter, Pearl.
What do you mean supporter? Like
I don't root for them. They're not my team.
Oh, yeah. But
yeah, okay. But that doesn't mean I hate Notre Dame. I'm interested in them, and I understand the place they occupy in college football. And when they got left out of the college football playoff,
right,
I actually felt bad for them because, you know, this is a team that was led to believe that they were going to be in no matter, you know, what happened on championship weekend. And then they got absolutely blindsided. And I feel terrible for the guys playing on the team.
Yeah, me too.
And I felt bad for the coach, the fans. I do feel bad about it. But I'm going to be honest. They used up all their sympathy on me now with the whining, complaining, and the continued public, demonstration of whininess. You know, at some point you do have to accept what happened, and I know you don't like it, but to be airing this much dirty laundry, and I get it. Now the AD is doing a press conference yesterday. He's talking to the fan base, right? They're trying to pick up the pieces, and I get that's not maybe for everybody, but to me, it's like there's something about standing up there, and you can be upset and disappointed, but at some point you have to also just accept these are the results, and to start making threats and to start throwing your weight around and to start calling out the ACC when, listen, they were trying like hell to get one of their teams into the college football playoff, not just for the prestige and how it looks, but for the money. The conferences get money when their teams make it this far to the college football playoff. And I don't think Notre Dame splits that money with the ACC when they get it, when they make the college football playoff. Or I don't know how exactly it works. But the ACC had a financial incentive to pump up Miami, and they had a narrative example to pump up their own team getting in, which Miami did get in.
Right.
So, you know, to the continued whining and complaining when you're about to Notre Dame, they may have gotten left out this year, but they are about to enter into an era that's already been agreed upon where all they have to do is finish in the top 12 and they automatically get into the college football playoff. Like you realize what lies ahead.
It is a 12-team playoff. That's not that egregious.
No, but that's not how it works now because the group of five and there's
two spots that, right.
There's other factors.
That means if they're 11 or 12, they get in. People are, I think, making a bit too big a deal of that. But let me ask you this question. If you got left out, wouldn't you be mad?
And that's fine. And I can be mad. But what's the action? See, it's
leave the ACC.
Well, but they're not doing that.
They should.
They may be threatening that, but it's empty.
But not right. Yeah, maybe right now. Maybe not in 2025. But I would say I don't think there's a long-term marriage going on here.
I guess I'm just saying, like, EJ kept saying, you know, it's good to be a bully. Like, the fact that the ACC kind of bullied, it feels like the college football playoff. EJ, that's kind of what you're implying. The ACC kind of bullied them into taking Miami. I think that now Notre Dame is starting to look a little bit like the bully. You know?
Well, they should. They are. They're much more powerful than the ACC.
Well, then either do something
they
about
will.
It. Well, when?
Gonna, I mean, this is college football.
This is
within
dog
5 years,
pony
they're going to be gone. I mean, this
gone.
Is not.
They're not in. They're not in the ACC.
But they're not even going to do these Wake Forest NCC games. They did. I mean, I like when Notre Dame plays Miami. That's good for fans. But yeah, I think the ACC messed with the wrong team. I think Notre Dame is going to leave them in the dust because ACC football is just not robust. Okay. And the ACC, we learned yesterday from our guest Josh Pate in a clip that got all over the internet, said the ACC is going to be gone in a few years anyway. So, yeah, what does Notre Dame care about? I think the ACC is a mosquito on Notre Dame. Yeah, say, oh, okay, you're going to talk big against us? Forget it.
Okay,
forget
well, I think that then Notre Dame is inflating their effect on the ACC. Because if the ACC is going to, as Josh Pate said yesterday, he said the quiet part that no one wants to talk about out loud is that the ACC may not exist in 5 to 10 years because it's a weakened conference. Well, then... Here's the newsflash. Having Big Bag Notre Dame even semi-connected to your conference clearly is not helping it. The way that they claim to. You know, Pete Bavakwa, the AD for Notre Dame yesterday, is doing a press conference saying, you know, your ratings go up when we play you. Your stadiums fill when we play you.
Yep.
But it's obviously not enough to save the conference. And they won't even join full-time in football. So they're trying to have their cake and eat it too.
Yeah, I mean, listen, this is Notre Dame is as a fiercely independent. They always talk about it. But I do think the ACC is a bit of a mess. And I would act exactly... I'm much more vindictive than these colleges. If I was Texas, I would cancel every single season opener for the next 5 years. Just gone. Say, you know what? If you're going to play... I'm so mad at college football for having these imbalanced schedules. And Notre Dame, by the way, did not deserve to get in because they didn't play anybody after the first two games. I just think the whole thing and the playoff and the scheduling is all a mess right now. And by the way, it was really funny. I think it was Charlie Baker, the head of the NCAA, was in Vegas at this event that everyone...
The National Football Foundation.
They said, what is the thing? You know, there's all these stories about college sports are in crisis. And someone asked him, what do people complain about most? He said, a large majority of the complaints are about the college football playoff. So college football is in crisis because no budget is matching. But all anyone cares about is teams being left out, which is funny to me.
I thought you were going to say the refs. That's what people complain
about. It's a college football playoff. Yeah. But... Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be big change here. I totally understand. If I was Notre Dame, I would begin the process of cutting ties with Jim Phillips and the ACC, for sure.
Okay.
And by the way, I've always thought it was stupid anyway. Those make no geographic... If you're going to have a semi-relationship with a conference, it has to be the Big Ten.
Pearl, are you going to really come at geographic relevance when Stanford and Cal are in the ACC?
Notre Dame plays Purdue anyway. Like, yes, Notre Dame should be playing Michigan, Purdue, Northwestern. Of course.
Okay,
if you're saying no geographic relevance, why on earth is Notre Dame playing NC State when they should be playing Chicago? They're basically a Chicago team. They should be playing all those teams.
Pearl,
they're
practically neighbors compared to some of the other ACC schools that are in the ACC proper who are on a completely different coast.
But culturally, in every other way, they fit the Big Ten. It's ridiculous that the one football thing they're in is the ACC. It makes zero sense.
Okay, well then, here's the thing. We're talking about Notre Dame, and I was feeling sympathetic, and I still am to the players and the coaches, but I'm not anymore with like the school and how they're trying to throw their weight around here. So, okay, you want to cut all your ties with the ACC because you're so bad. You're so mad about a couple social media posts. It came down to. This is what Pete Bavakwa said yesterday. A couple social media posts that went out where they were touting Miami, and they were not even really putting down Notre Dame, but they were pumping up Miami because they knew that was their best chance to get a full-time ACC member into the college football playoff.
But the ACC network did show the Notre Dame-Miami game. So in a sense, they were putting down Notre Dame?
Yeah, but they're saying that was not an ACC decision. That was an ESPN decision.
Got it.
Whatever. It was the ACC network is run by ESPN. So... this is what I have a question for Notre Dame. All right, you want to leave the ACC, you're so ticked off, fine. Take your ball, go home. You don't think that when you join the big, you're going to what, tangentially join the Big Ten? And they're going to be okay with you getting a slice of their big pie without joining as a full-time member? Get the heck out of here.
No, I mean, they can't get it. But if they have to do their own schedule, they'll probably get more Big Ten teams in there just by the Big Ten teams want the money too. You know, they're going to want those big out-of-conference games and there's a lot of eyeballs.
Okay, first of all, are you even sure you're right about that? You just said if you're Texas, you would never schedule an out-of-conference game that's big because the College Football Committee is not respecting strength of schedule like we thought they were going to. So if you're Notre Dame now and you're going to be out there in the wilderness trying to get people to schedule you for games, anyone who even thinks they have a prayer to make this playoff is going to say, no, thank you. I'm not trying to get my resume wrecked because Notre Dame's going to come in here with their good defense and their run game and their millions of fans who are going to be all behind them.
Well,
I have my hands full enough playing my own conference schedule. I don't want to add any of that. Like, your prediction from months and months ago that no one wants to play tough non-conference games in this new era is I think, definitely going to come true. You're 100% right about that. And Notre Dame, without the ACC, is going to be the big loser there because no one's going to want to play them.
How long is so? But Notre Dame's already scheduled out to what, like 31, 32? I think the strength of schedule is, first of all, it'll be at 24 teams by then. And I think they're going to solve that strength of schedule thing in 6 years. So I'm seeing a 2030 schedule that looks pretty set in stone. So we're talking about big picture here.
Again, more empty threats. If you're already booked out until 2030, are you really going to pay all that money to get out of those games?
Well, let me ask you a question. Okay, let me ask EJ, who's a Miami Hurricanes fan, a question.
Sure. Okay.
EJ, I could give you a pass right now. Miami can get out of the ACC. Are you going to get out of it?
Yeah.
Yeah, everybody wants out of the ACC.
But where are you going to go? You want to go to where? The SEC?
Anywhere.
The Big Ten?
And either of those conferences.
Okay.
SEC is probably more favorable just geographically, but I'd take the Big Ten too.
Okay, so that's fine, but your path just got much harder.
Yeah.
And I know Miami probably is not scared of that because they feel like they can NIL with anybody and and all that. But if I'm Notre Dame, like, look at what happened. They lost the first two games, granted, close games, and then they went on a 10-game run. And the only other team they beat with any real juice was, I guess, USC?
Pitt, maybe.
On the road, or Pitt was that at home? Pitt
that was on the road.
Game day was at Pitt.
Yeah. Fantastic. You don't think there's part of Notre Dame that kind of loves some of their scheduling stuff? Like, it was a legitimate, for them to have to run the table after starting 0-2 was legitimate. You're in the Big Ten or you're in the SEC, that's not happening.
Yeah, Florida season was over as soon as they lost those early games to like Miami and UCSF. Like
their
season, because there's no way they're going 10-2
in that with that schedule.
Right.
So this is where I get with Notre Dame, where you lost me. You had me and then you lost me because I think all your threats are empty. I think you're trying to be a bully, and now you just look like whiners and you look like complainers when the world's been handed to you and is about to be handed to you because you get an automatic qualifying bid if you are just in the top 12 starting next year when it could go to 16. We could get expansion. So to me, like, quit whining. I'm sorry, you got screwed this year. It's not right. We all think it's wrong, but like, life's still pretty good for Notre Dame. And they're out here complaining like the system has been against them this whole time. Newsflash, you are the system. You did carve out this amazing thing for yourself moving forward with the automatic qualifier. So get over yourself.
You know, I would have really liked to see Jeremiah Love in this playoff. I think everyone could agree, Miami and Notre Dame being in instead of JMU, and I understand what happened there.
Yeah.
There was no choice. That would have been the best solution. And I think a lot of people say take Alabama out and put Miami and Notre Dame. That's a funny thing. I don't think Miami and Notre Dame were really, I think, both schools probably wanted both teams in.
Yeah.
It kind of stinks because Love is, if you haven't watched him lately, I mean, it's got a little Saquon Barkley 2024 feel. He put a spin move at Pittsburgh that is just a highlight thing. And it feels like Notre Dame is hitting on all cylinders. But it's hard to tell with any of these teams because nobody's played anybody. The one person who's still stuck on the Longhorns. Nobody's beat anybody in this playoff field except for Texas. Texas is the only one who's really shown anything of any merit against any of these teams. Most of them have just eased through an easy schedule.
I don't know. Alabama probably has the best win of the year at Georgia.
They beat Georgia.
But then they got smoked in the SEC championship game. I guess if you want to say Indiana has some pretty good wins.
Oh, you beat Alabama.
OU beat Alabama. Indiana went to Oregon and won by 10.
OU and Alabama, like 8-9. I mean, generally, though, most of these teams have not played a lot of the other playoff teams more than once. I'm just saying, like, nobody has proven. This is a wide open field. Like, what do we really know about Ohio State? Not much. I mean, they haven't played anybody. They played Texas in the first week of the season, won 14-7, and then just lost 13-10.
Yeah.
And they have the two best offensive players in the country, probably. So it's just
And those guys aren't even 100% healthy.
Yeah, I didn't even know how I got on this topic, but the whole thing is quite chaotic. The field, honestly, I feel like there are teams outside of the top 12 who could beat a lot of these teams.
And it's funny you bring up Jeremiah Love. We're talking about Notre Dame, and I'm sick of the whining now. I'm over it. But Perloff still wants them, would love to have them in the college football playoff bracket. The one thing about that, if we're asking who's the one player that you wish you could watch in this bracket? Maybe Jeremiah Love is the answer. To me, it's Pavia.
Diego Pavia,
who's a Heisman finalist, is along with Jeremiah Love and Julian Sain and Fernando Mendoza. But if we're just talking about like who we wish we could just drop into this bracket, I think Pavia is the one who could really upset things.
Yeah.
You're never out of it with
that. Yeah, right. Because like, for, no one, I understand they're great pro prospects, but I don't think Julian Sain and Fernando Mendoza, everyone's like, oh my God, I got to get to the TV to watch Fernando Mendoza. I just don't think those are that kind of players.
He's had some big throws this year, though.
Okay, show me the person out there. It's like, oh my God, did you see Fernando? I mean, they just won that Big Ten title game 13-10.
I know that Penn State throw, though, on the road when they were about to
lose.
Really?
That's interesting.
That's the highlight of the year, probably.
That's funny. I find him just to be super solid, not really super entertaining. Honestly, I think the one player everyone would really, in their honest moment, watch would be new Arches. But Arch in the second half of the season, because he's a bit of an adventure. He's Arch Manning. He's super famous. That's one guy, too, I would want to see. I want to see Love, Arch, Casey Concepcion on Texas A&M because he's sick. And there's a couple other players. Mendoza is just super solid, I think. Personally, it's Ty Simpson. I mean, he's good, but really, is he must-see TV? I'm not sure.
EJ, I don't know how to word this poll question without sounding biased, but I would. My temptation is to ask you to put up, are you sick of Notre Dame's whining? But I think that's leading the witness.
Are you sick of Notre Dame's complaining about the ACC?
I still think it's leading the witness.
Yeah, you can put that up.
Okay.
I'm not, I mean, yeah, I feel like just calling them whining. I'm sure you're turning off a lot of Notre Dame fans by that question.
Well, I mean, let's take an honest look here. The Dan Patrick interview, then the press conference yesterday. We get it. You're ticked off. You lost a lot of money by not making the college football playoff.
Well, I think the press conference was because Notre Dame was thinking not everybody saw the Dan Patrick interview. And maybe because Dan's such a good interviewer, I think the AD said things that he probably was going to hold for the press conference. He's like, well, I'm talking to Dan Patrick. I got to spill the beans here. I don't know
Dan's
if Notre Dame
so
actually,
good.
Yeah, I don't know if Notre Dame actually planned that. I think they wanted to do a press conference where they said all those things, but they accidentally said it all to Dan.
I always wanted to ask you, could you guys feel that in the room when you were working for Dan Patrick for the last 12 years? Could you feel when a guest was like, oh, they didn't want to say this, but Dan's got him?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, when Dan paused, as asking me, the AD for Notre Dame goes, you know, there's been serious damage has been done to the relationship with the ACC. And Dan pauses for like 2 seconds, pregnant pause, and goes, irreparable? I was like, Dan, it's a Hall of Fame level interview. He's really good. Cliff's in Atlanta. Cliff, what do you think about Notre Dame?
I think Notre Dame's getting exactly what they deserve. For the first time, they have no leverage. They have no power. You know, at one time, they played everybody. They played USC when they were good. They played Miami when they were good. I even think they played Alabama. They played Michigan regularly, Ohio State on and off periodically. And they had a very, very tough and robust schedule. They played Penn State regularly. And they would have, sure, they would have Navy, and they may have another game on their schedule that was not necessarily a football school. But, you know, the ACC has tried to get Notre Dame to join their conference forever, and Notre Dame has kept them at bay and just played a handful of ACC games. So they're getting exactly what they deserve, and they shared money with no one. So I don't feel sorry for them at all. I like Notre Dame, but if they return to the time where they played everyone that was tough, then we would have something to talk about. But I feel no sympathy for them at all.
Cliff, thank you for the phone call. You know, listen, Notre Dame, I'm not feeling any sympathy for them now. I was, but now I feel like they're going over the top with the whole thing, and they're kind of turning me off here, Pearl. But, you know, to be fair, started the season on the road at Miami, which is one of the ACC schools they rotate. And then they've had a home-and-home with Texas A&M.
I mean, what was A&M ranked coming last year, though? Weren't they a 500 team? So it just happened that A&M hit pay dirt this year. But anyway, that is true. You brought up an interesting point. Is that by Notre Dame's choice or by the opponent's choice, too? It's kind of, I mean, is Michigan, what happened to Notre Dame-Michigan? I know that was a big deal. There were a lot of stories about that about 2 years ago. Nico, you're a Michigan fan. Why did that stop happening every year?
I don't know why it stopped happening, but I do know they're going to play again in 2033 and 2034.
Yeah, right.
There was mark your calendars, guys.
No, that was a massive story, that Notre Dame-Michigan rivalry. There's, I mean, listen, when you get into scheduling, there's all sorts of contractual stuff that we don't even know about. Maybe Notre Dame wants that tough schedule, but people don't want to play them.
888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. All right, you're welcome to win on Notre Dame. If you'd like to. I think the funny part, too, is everyone, I'll tell you, Alabama is ducking a lot of smoke here because Notre Dame's getting so much attention. Because, Pearl, there are a lot of people who do not believe that Alabama deserves to be in this bracket. But it's kind of like the secondary story because Notre Dame is keeping this thing alive.
Just a little information on how far back this goes. According to this story, in 2012, Notre Dame stopped scheduling Michigan because of their new arrangement with the ACC. So this happened a long time ago. That's a problem with college football scheduling, too. We're talking about scheduling. It's a decade away. I mean, you can't. College football is hard to move quickly on and anything. So even if he's, you said it well, even if he's threatening ACC, like, what's he going to do?
888-710-4ISN. All right, coming up, I'd love to hear from the Dodger fans. Just another day in paradise with the Dodgers where you're sitting around, you're thinking, all right, we're the back-to-back defending World Series champs. This is awesome. And then the best closer in baseball just falls from the sky into your lap. Wow. 888-710-4ISN. Does it feel fair with the Dodgers? Okay, we'll get to all of it. It's the Maggie and Pearl Off Show.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids. Yeah. I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast. And if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Welcome back. Maggie and Perloff show. You know, there's a lot of hand-wringing these days about the state of college sports, college football, the playoff. I think we need a new commissioner, and I think I have a nominee.
Oh, yeah? Who's that? You want Nick Saban?
Well, Saban's been thrown around. I mean, Greg Sankey, the SEC commissioner, wants it. We saw Josh Pate got a big endorsement for it the other day, a media member. It's got to be Ed O.
Ed Orgeron, the fired head coach of LSU.
Yeah, this is the one man who's going to tell it like it is. All this serious talk and all this money being thrown around. Let's just bring in Ed O and have an honest conversation about everything, because he was on Bustin' with the Boys, Maggie, and it was spectacular.
Okay, so here's a little bit from that podcast. Ed Orgeron, as only he can, talking about the truth when it comes to NIL and how it's different from what they used to do back in the day.
We all know that SEC was NIL before NIL. We're way past it. Can we now just admit it?
It's all good. Hey, you know what? I say, hey, coach, you've been out of coaching for a while, and how are you going to adjust that NIL? I said, well, it's a minor adjustment. And they said, what do you mean? I said, back then, we used to walk through the back door to cash. Now we just got to walk through the front door to cash.
Man, is this guy available for like weddings and bar mitzvahs? Like, he just would kill Pearl. Want Ed O at your event. The one thing about Ed O being the commissioner of college football, which would just be such a funny, funny role. I think he'd be available to the highest bidder.
Yeah.
If we're being honest.
Oh, as compared to what anybody else we just named? Well, you're right. Yeah. You know what? We don't want Ed Orgeron and his capitalistic viewpoint. Let's put in Brett Yormark. Let's put in the Saudis or whoever just bought Utah. Give me a break.
Wall Street investment firms. It's a sad outlook there. You're right. Why not, Ed O?
Yeah, why not? Exactly.
At least he'd be transparent, I think. So here's another story that we thought was really interesting from Ed Orgeron. Again, Bustin' with the Boys podcast. And it's cool just because it's a little bit of a window into what really happens behind the scenes, or what did happen back in the day with college football recruiting. So here's a story that Ed Orgeron, it's a little bit long but worth it, telling a story about how he tried to recruit Adrian Peterson to USC, and at first there was a big obstacle.
So Adrian went down there, a little East Texas place. He comes to USC, has a great visit, loves it. But Adrian said, Coach, I got a problem. And I know he don't mind me saying this, and I say it with utmost respect, because I love him. Coach, my daddy's incarcerated in Texarkana. Bob Stoops has already gone in there to see him. He said, Coach, y'all got to go see my dad, man. And if you can convince my dad to come to USC, I want to come. But there's another thing I need to talk to you about.
Okay, so obviously this is real life stuff that's getting, that's being factored in with Adrian Peterson. So what is that thing that Ed O needed to get over?
He goes, Coach, my dad will get to watch me play in Texarkana. They play Oklahoma games. He goes, I'm not going to Texas. I'm going to Oklahoma. I said, Adrian, if your daddy, if they showed them USC games over there, would you come? He said, Coach, I come tomorrow. If you promise me, my daddy could see every one of my games.
Okay, so think about this. Now Adrian Peterson is asking Ed O, I'll come to USC, but somehow you have to make it possible for my father, who's in prison, to be able to watch my games. Now, this is, Adrian Peterson wasn't that long ago, but this is long before you could get every game anywhere at any time.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we didn't have streaming back then.
You needed a giant satellite in the backyard.
So Ed O did what he could do.
Went back to Los Angeles. I went to speak to the mayor. Went to speak to every influential person that I could talk to. And I tried to get Adrian's daddy transferred from Texarkana to Los Angeles jail, man. I tried. I busted my butt. I couldn't do it, man. Just too many red tape.
Were you ever close?
No. They looked at me like, you can't do that, man.
Is that the greatest distance you ever gone to try to get a player?
Yep. That was competing.
That's competing. He said, that's competing. Trying to get Adrian Peterson, whose dad was incarcerated, to get transferred from a Texarkana prison to L.A. so that he could watch his son play for USC. Obviously, it didn't happen in Oklahoma. Adrian Peterson, rest his history.
We just got to, there's another story about how he recruited Joe Burrow that he shared. I think we have this out. It's pretty funny as well.
I said, Joe, if you tell anybody about this conversation, it never happened. So I don't know what the hell you're talking about. I said, Joe, I don't get you. They're going to fire me.
All right. That's not it.
We're going to win the national championship. That's how important you are to me. Okay. There you go. Right there.
Yeah.
All right.
All right, that's only part of it. Wait till Edo reveals what he was really thinking.
I know these quarterbacks. They're good, but they're not as good as you. I ain't seen a damn lick of film on the son of a gun, you hear me? I was just going on what I heard.
Never watched Joe Burrow before. No tape. Comes in and says, not only do I need you to save my job, we're going to win the national title if you come here. Yeah. Amazing amount of lying.
Yeah, well, how so could good. It also do? He's Ed Orgeron recruiting Joe Burrow. Nobody gave him like a highlight clip of the spring game or something? He's never seen a lick of tape on this guy?
Well, famously, Burrow was buried on the depth chart at Ohio State.
Now, yeah, true.
The other part, too, which is just so funny to me, is can you imagine like a grown man going to a teenager and saying, I need you to save my job, and that's why you should come here. The amount of pressure these kids are under, young men are
especially
under.
Someone like Ed Orgeron, who's such a over-the-top character, obviously very, very Louisiana, and Joe Burrow, some kid from Ohio, and this guy's like, I'm going to get fired. You're going to save my job. know,
and Joe Burrow's dad is a college football coach, right? Like, yeah. You would think that he'd be like, wait, don't put that kind of pressure on my son. I know this is crazy. And meanwhile, Ed Orgeron would get dismissed 2 years after winning the national title because he basically, well, a lot of things, including allegedly catcalling some woman at a gas station who turned out to be the wife of an influential LSU person.
It totally fits. You know, it's funny. Edo did an impersonation of Joe Burrow's face when he said that. He said Joe Burrow stood up and was like, whoa, this guy really does need me. And the fact that he was just doing a recruiting lie is
all
awesome.
BS, man.
Awesome. Crazy. Commissioner, Edo for commissioner, who's with me, start the movement.
I want him to coach again. I want. He's got
Isn't it weird that he's not a head coach, by the way?
Is perfect for him. Ride off into the sunset. Everyone remembers you with Burrow and Justin Jefferson. Like, don't come back and what? Coach UCF? Don't do that.
Well, I mean, obviously NIL kind of killed him.
In what way?
I mean.
He was the bag man, you're saying?
He's the greatest recruiter of all time.
Mm. But you don't think that he could get other NIL people to do what he was doing back in the day?
I'm going to be honest. I think the legend of Edo now is so big. It's like, just go off the legendary stories and the status. And I don't know. Does he really need to get back into coaching? I know he wants to.
Yeah. I mean, I don't think, to be clear, I don't think he'd be any good. I just think he'd be very entertaining.
Yeah.
What school, EJ? What's the perfect school for Edo if it's not LSU?
Yeah.
Tulane, something like that?
Yeah. Tulane, like Southern Mississippi.
Yep.
Someplace Texas Tech. Like that. If Joey McGuire ever went anywhere, he'd be great with Cody Campbell and Texas Tech. In fact, they should hire him. But again, I think the problem is the money's out there now. He, you know, Edo famously built that USC team that was basically an NFL team. That was LA's NFL team. I mean,
maybe like a Memphis. Like, he needs to go to like a place that's like group of five, but like enough of tension that he could really run really wild and make headlines. And I think if he that would be great for college football.
No, it would be.
Not great for those programs, but it would be great for college football.
It might be good in the short term for those programs.
Yeah, short term, probably.
Let's get to Andrew Bogus, who's got headlines.
These headlines sponsored by Progressive Commercial Insurance, protecting your business vehicles 24/7. See if you can save at ProgressiveCommercial.com. A.J. DeBonsa might be the top pick in the next NBA draft. Last night, he told you why. The BYU star scoring 22 of his 28 points in the second half, dragging the Cougars out of a 22-point hole and setting up Robert Wright III for this.
With 1.3 to go, it's got to be quick. Boskovic handed the ball in to Rob. Shoots from three.
Yes! It scores it! Rob Wright III just won it for BYU!
A buzzer-beating three in Game 1 of the Jimmy V Classic at the Garden. BYU stealing a 67-64 win from Clemson. DeBonsa adding 9 rebounds and 6 assists to those 28 points in the night.
Why do we have to call him the third? Or is dad's famous? Like, can't we just call him Robert Wright? We used to debate this on Dan Patrick's show. Who gets a junior? Who gets the third? Mm. Like, when do you have to do it? When do you not have to do it?
I think he wants us to. It's on. I think it's even said the three on his jersey.
I mean, that's a handful for an announcer, folks, right?
Yes.
The game-winning shot to have to say a third. Can't you just say at that point of the game, can't you just call him Robert Wright?
My guess is they don't always say Wright the third.
That was for emphasis.
Yes. Especially the BYU guys probably just call him. Well, he actually said Rob at the start of it. So they might go first name. Yeah. Like, listen, I think he says in to Rob.
With 1.3 to go, it's got to be quick. Boskovic handed the ball in to Rob. Shoots from...
Yeah, in to Rob.
Yeah,
I know. Like, it's casual.
Yeah. I mean, I called his dad Bob back in the day.
Robert, I'm trying to find who Robert O. Robert O. II Robert O. Wright II is on Twitter. I mean, he only has 245 followers, so I don't think he's famous.
Well, to be honest, in this day and age, isn't every athlete the son of an athlete?
Yeah, I know.
That's what I assume, but then I don't see anything. Like, and then the BYU bio says, oh, he's the son of Robert O. Wright II. I was like, oh, okay.
That clears it up.
But there's nothing else on Robert O. Wright II.
There's a lot of juniors in draft, and we often drop the junior. Very, very often.
Yeah, and then we get a curveball every once in a while when the guy has a son at a young age, and now he's senior.
Yeah, there's a couple seniors.
Also, what's the nonsense with the second or junior? Like, why do we have to be different?
Because that doesn't mean, because they're two different things. If you name your son after your grandfather, he's the second. He's not junior. Oh, it's only father, son, is junior, senior.
Glad you asked that question, Nico. I'm glad you excited, Bogus.
Yeah.
Britannica Bogus here.
I didn't think that was an unknown.
I thought it's a new, the middle name. Something has to be first, middle, last, has to be the same.
That can't be junior if you don't have the same middle name.
Right, exactly. Okay.
Yeah.
So the middle name does matter.
Yes, because like my uncle has the same as Robert Pearson. My grandfather was Robert Pearson, but they have a different middle name.
Got it.
Just to educate Nico some more, there are three juniors who went in the first round of last year's NFL draft, and I did not know any of them were juniors. Did you know Kelvin Banks Jr. was a junior? Nope. Probably not. Did you know that Josh Connerly was a junior and that James Pierce Jr., I think I might have heard that one.
Yeah.
But we dropped all the juniors for them, but this guy, the third, is getting it full service.
What throws me off is are the college players who go by the seniors. Because I'm like, all right, well, your kid's an infant.
Yeah,
So your kid hasn't done anything.
Know if we're going to need to know the kid.
Yeah, no, exactly.
It's really calling your shot for the kid.
Yeah, but now we have guys who are so old that it may make, maybe their kids are.
Oh, man, Tyler Shuck was like, isn't he a father of three?
Right, exactly.
Is he really?
No, I joke, but I think he's definitely got one.
Oh, there's tons of kids with, quarterbacks with dads.
Philip Rivers, the OG.
Yeah.
His kid was like three when he got drafted.
Luther Burden is a three.
Yes, he is.
LB3. There we go.
I learned yesterday Phil Rivers played against Chris Wenke, and I was like, I can't do this. He played a game against Chris Wenke.
Wenke retire?
No, this was in college.
Yeah.
I'm talking about Florida State.
Yeah.
NC State freshman quarterback Philip Rivers played a game against Heisman Trophy winner Chris Wenke, and Philip Rivers is still playing in the NFL.
Well,
kinda. On a practice squad.
We'll see if he gets on the field.
Status pending.
Nightcap at the Garden. Number 5 UConn fought off 18th ranked Florida 77-73 behind 19 points from solo ball. I don't think we discussed this from Sunday.
Here's OG Anunoby inside. Oh, what a play from Blake.
Whoa.
And Bain throws it off Anunoby. Anunoby shoves Bain. The crowd erupting. Obviously, Bain wanted to save it and get possession, but he threw it like he was throwing a fastball.
And Mike Breen, he wasn't falling out of bounds. He didn't need to save the possession by throwing the ball off OG Anunoby at any speed. That's why the NBA fined Desmond Bain $35,000 for doing that. Last night, Bain scored 35 in Orlando's 117-108 win over Miami. They're now in the NBA Cup semifinal, where a six-figure check is possible.
Oh, it's huge, man. I mean, I just lost $35,000, so I gotta go get it back somehow.
And Saturday's semifinal in Vegas is a rematch with those Knicks, who were 117-101 winners in Toronto.
That was one of the most absurd plays I think I've ever seen on an NBA court.
Yeah.
I mean, just fired it at the guy.
Yeah, he grabbed the rebound and just threw it like he was playing dodgeball.
If feet set fully in bounds, on balance, like there was no need to do any of that.
Well, he could have started a fast break.
Yeah.
We knew he's on the floor.
You know, $35,000 is probably going to hit him right in the wallet. I mean, the guy's made, what, $20 million?
Well, you see, yesterday, Tyler Kolek said that Jalen Brunson, you know, getting them into the quarterfinal got his mom, like, a car, I think, or a house or something.
That's cool.
Like, now Jalen Brunson's, all right, now I got to get something for Tyler Kolek's dad.
So. All of a sudden, Kolek's got three sisters, two brothers, a couple uncles, aunts. It is the holiday season.
We don't need any more gambling situations. This is just make every game for money, and you'll see if guys really playing, right?
Aren't they already playing for money? It's called the paycheck.
Get more money.
You got to get a little on top of
it. I mean, some of them are making so much money, I don't know how they would account for more money, but what's Jalen Brunson make a year?
He took $35 million, I think. He took a little less.
That was taking a pay cut. They're going to investigate Jalen Brunson for taking
that's a good point. I forgot about that. Yeah.
Crazy.
Jalen needs that money himself.
Yeah, I know. How's he going to feed his family with that $35 million?
No, he needs security to keep Manny away from him.
No, I mean,
he needs to build a moat around his house.
He's already feeding his family by having them employed by the team.
That's what I'm saying.
He's helping out everybody's parents, his own parents, Tyler Kolek's parents.
Honestly, let's just give him the Nobel Prize. It's
you got to vote for mayor.
Or that FIFA Peace Prize.
Oh, yeah.
Give him that bad boy.
What do you have to do? I don't want to know.
Not peace. Mike Tomlin says DK Metcalf should be able to play Monday night against the Dolphins after that health scare Sunday night. Metcalf was taken off the Steelers' flight home from Baltimore because of stomach pains. He was checked at a hospital, slept in a hotel, and got back home on Monday. And the Colorado Avalanche have the best record in the NHL, but they are now 0-4 in shootouts, 4-3 losers in Nashville last night. Guys, back to you.
Bogues, thanks so much. Coming up, this is insufferable. If we have to listen to it, we think you should have to listen to it. Because misery loves company. All right, Maggie Perlow.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.
Love show. All right, got a couple stories here coming out of Los Angeles. First one is the Dodgers. To the victor goes the spoils, and boy, are they really testing that. Kind of feels a little like overkill to me, but Pearl, this is nothing new. It's the haves and the have-nots in baseball, and the Dodgers yesterday made a big move, which was getting Edwin Diaz in free agency to sign a 3-year, $69 million contract. It's the highest average annual value for a closer in the history of the sport, but still a little bit less than I thought he was going to get, if we're being honest with ourselves. $23 million. It's a lot for a closer. Very minimal deferments, like $4.5 million. And obviously, it's going to affect the Dodgers to some extent because they're like repeat violators of the luxury tax. But what do they care? You know, this is a two-time defending World Series champs going for the three-peat. And the one thing that really almost stymied them last year was the back end of the bullpen. Think about it.
Yeah.
How many times did we see starters having to come into the games, not just the 18-inning game in the World Series, but Game 7 of the World Series? I mean, they threw the kitchen sink. If they had just had a closer who they could rely on, they may have just breezed through the playoffs. And Tanner Scott is a guy they had signed to like a $75 million deal last year, but he had a, you know, over four ERA and eventually lost the closer job.
Yeah. Actually, was there any thought of moving Sasaki to that role, by the way? Because he was awesome.
Well, but they want him in the rotation.
Yeah, I know. But their rotation is so crazy already. I just think that I was curious about that.
No, that was just either an instance of the Dodgers being so smart that they knew that Rokai Sasaki was going to be able to all of a sudden be in the bullpen after never doing anything like that.
Oh, he had never done that before?
No, okay. And then he came in and he was great for them. So either they're smarter than everyone or that was an instance of them just getting a little lucky.
Maggie, I know you're following this closely. I actually had this instant reaction to both that signing and Kyle Schwarber signing with the Phillies.
Yeah.
That the numbers didn't seem crazy to me in the sense that maybe I thought baseball just went up and up and up every year. Are those deals a little more modest than some might have expected?
To me, the Diaz deal is more modest. First of all,
not the Schwarber though.
Schwarber to me, for a 33-year-old only DH, and granted, he's coming off this incredible season where he could have won MVP if Shohei Ohtani wasn't alive. But I mean, how's he gonna age? You know, that's 5 years at $30 million per. You can't play him in the field, which means what do you do as Bryce Harper continues to age? And Bryce is going to place first now, obviously. But at some point, you were probably hoping to put Bryce Harper in that DH spot. And now that's completely clogged up by Kyle Schwarber. But
I mean, we're coming off an offseason before where I know it's a different story altogether. But Juan Soto signed a $700 million deal. And then you get a guy who's in the top three in MVP voting for 5 years, 150. I don't know. It just seems like, okay, this is not going to kill the Phillies because in 5 years, that'll be a rather modest contract.
Sure, if you think, and he's perfect for that ballpark. And obviously, you know, I don't know if he would have had the same success if he was in Citi Field.
But he's always been pretty good, you know, back in the day. And even the closer contract for Diaz, I'm like, why? I mean, that seems like a great deal. I'm sure a lot of teams are. But closures are hot and cold.
It's the high volatility.
Yeah.
But listen, this is an instance where forget the volatility, the risk, whatever. This was an instance where Diaz turned his back on the Mets. Or the Mets ruined the relationship with him. I don't know who's in the right and who's in the wrong here. But either Diaz may have been ticked off that they went and signed Devin Williams and kind of like held his feet to the fire a little bit or tried to get a little leverage on him maybe, or Diaz maybe always wanted to go to the Dodgers because he never gave the Mets an opportunity to make a last and final. You know, he went to the Dodgers, the Mets gave him an offer of 3 years, $66 million, but with some deferrals and said, you know, we do have room to go up. He got 3 years, $69 million for the Dodgers and never even went back to the Mets to get more. I think he wanted to be gone.
Maybe he did, but I just think that's letting Steve Cohen and especially David Stearns off the hook. This is on them.
Yeah, because they botched this.
Yeah, why are you nickel and diming the best closer in the game? Like, no, you are the Mets. Like, this shouldn't be a, hey, we can go up more. Like, there is no negotiating with Edwin Diaz. He's all you have in your bullpen. He's one of the few bright spots from last season. You say, here's 4 years. Here's 85, 90 million.
Yeah, well,
do you want to come back?
That would have been really blowing this thing away. I agree with you. I think that David Stearns has the blind spot here of he loves Devin Williams.
That's a problem.
It's a problem. Well, it's not a problem if Devin Williams can actually find his stuff again like he did in Milwaukee when Stearns was the GM there. And he was one of the best closers in baseball. Hell, he got the Yankees to change their facial hair policy for him. And then he came to New York and he stunk. But you know what? Maybe after 1 year understanding what this particular fishbowl is like and maybe this particular situation, maybe he finds it again and it looks like the Mets got a deal. But I don't love the process. I'll agree with you there.
I just think for baseball fans, this is the one where it's going to look annoying to see the Dodgers get another great player. But if you're a baseball fan who hates the Dodgers, today you should actually hate the Mets. Because the Mets were supposed to be the next evil empire. They were supposed to be a team that doesn't get outspent. And yet here we are again, the Dodgers outspending the Mets for another star player.
But, yeah, wait, but this has Kevin Durant vibes.
Wait, let me ask you a question, though. Is it the money or is it there's something else, though, right? Isn't that what you were implying, that Diaz just didn't want to be a Met? He wanted to be
I think it's possible that he did not want to be a Met anymore. Yeah.
But I think the Mets are the ones that turned him off.
Yes,
whether
I
it's because
agree.
They signed negotiations beforehand or the negotiations, because we're seeing the same thing with Alonso, too.
Alonso is another debacle.
Not about the money. Schwarber took less money to go with the Phillies, so I think that maybe the same thing happened with Diaz.
But this idea that, like, the Dodgers get every great player, like, this was avoidable. Like, some of those other situations, like, maybe it was just unavoidable that those guys were going to join the Dodgers. It feels like this one, I'm sorry, if you're a baseball fan, you hate the Dodgers, you should be pointing your finger at the Mets saying, how the hell did you screw this up?
Well, Diaz first came into this and said, I want the same contract that I got the last time around, which was 5 years, $100 million. And the Mets said no to that. And I understand, because even the Dodgers aren't willing to go 5 years. I don't know why the Mets wouldn't have been willing to go to four. And I think, like, why? Diaz is not, he's in his 30s, but he's not an old 30 at all. And I think that, you know, closers, look at, there's got closers out there 38 years old who still are throwing gas. I'm not worried about the age. This is what makes me think that Diaz may have had his heart set. And the fact that the Dodgers were smart and brought Diaz's brother into the organization last year just to show him how good it is, maybe they felt like the brother did the recruiting for them.
That's brilliant.
And that's where David Stearns and them got a little oopsie doop.
Can Ronald Acuna find his way on the Mets then? Because we got this little brother out there playing
Luis
all
Angel.
These minutes. Yeah. Like, I mean,
who they should trade.
Can we get him over here?
That'd be nice.
Be really nice. I've been waiting for this to happen, and somehow I'm losing Edwin Diaz to the Dodgers now.
Did you guys see
me Acuna to the Mets?
Did you see the Pirates outbid the Phillies for Schwarber? That's amazing.
Yeah, the Pirates are trying to do this thing.
I can't. Schwarber's probably my favorite player of all time in baseball now. He's like a softball player playing baseball. Give him the money.
All right. Coming up next, the great debate.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
So you want to start a business. You might think you need a team of people and fancy tech skills, but you don't. You just need GoDaddy Aero. I'm Walton Goggins, and as an actor, I'm an expert in looking like I know what I'm doing. GoDaddy Aero uses AI to create everything you need to grow a business. It'll make you a unique logo. It'll create a custom website. It'll write social posts for you and even set you up with a social media calendar. Get started at GoDaddy.com/Aero. That's GoDaddy.com/AIRO.
You know how in football, timing is everything? You miss your window by a second and the play's already gone. The holidays are the same way. Everything happens fast, and if you're not ready, you're scrambling at the last minute. That's why Amazon Prime is the real MVP this season.
With Prime's fast, free shipping, you can make those last-minute calls look effortless. Forgot your secret Santa gift? Need something for that office party? Prime's got your back, helping you go from uh-oh to all set faster than a two-minute drill.
Absolutely, Mark, because Prime isn't just about getting things fast. It's about making sure you never miss your shot. It turns that last-minute scramble into a smooth holiday win. So this season, remember, Prime's fast delivery has your back during the holidays, especially when it's down to the wire and can't wait another minute. Last-minute gifts delivered, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to shop now.